Today on Real Radio.
Only God knows our hearts. Isn't that something? So God, oh God, help me. Lord, make motives right in my heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Chapter 16 is where David, who eventually became King David, is brought into this story for the very first time. Because King Saul disobeyed the Lord's instructions, he quickly fell out of God's favor. So the Almighty sent Samuel to find a man that would be one after God's own heart. Isn't that a great phrase? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. In a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16, it's a study called When God Comes Upon a Man.
And Jonathan wasn't even around town. He wasn't even there to hear it. Yet he eats some honey that day and he gets in trouble and Saul says, kill him. I don't care if he's my own son, kill him. What a nut. He's whacked out. His emotions are driving him. He wasn't fit to be king from the very start. But yet when people are in position who have gotten there by assumption, they think people have been gathered around them to be their servants, and the minister winds up being ministered to by all the people. That's pathetic. Samuel was weakened by Saul's influence. And that's a terrible thing. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? 2 Corinthians 13:6 says, but I trust, Paul is saying, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. When's the last time you took inventory of who you are in Christ? We all need to do it. In light of the word, am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Examine yourself. Saul had the Old Testament scriptures, much of them. He had the law of God. But I think in his position, in his power, he's the king. I must have God's favor. Can you imagine? Hey, there's people coming to church. Must be doing the right thing. That's evil. God's sheep gather around his word. God blesses his word. And to begin to assume that God is blessing because of the committee or because of the staff or because of being the pastor or the whatever, you're ministering by assumption. Remember, he says, my word shall not return unto me void. David is a very young man at this point. Saul is middle-aged. He's in power, and yet he does not have the power of God. That's all going to be coming upon David. Very important. Listen to this godly example of Paul the Apostle in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, for do I now seek the favor of men, Paul says, or of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still desired to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Is the ministry living for people, or is it living for God? It's to be for God. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And you see Samuel, see what's happening to him? Samuel is like recoiling back. What's he afraid of? Saul's going to go mad. He's going to kill me. Samuel was a man of faith. And I believe at this point, insecurity is creeping into Samuel's life. You know what? Whenever there's fear dominating your life, you will be insecure. Does that ring true? Rings true to me. When there's fear in my life, insecurity creeps in. When you're in a relationship and you're insecure, what's happening? You're fearful about something. Samuel is God's man, but because he's been influenced by Saul, and Saul is going to throw down his toys, pick up a sword, and lop off Samuel's head if he doesn't do the right dance and sing the right tune, this is what Samuel's afraid of that Saul's going to do. That he says, God, he's going to kill me if he hears about this. Have you ever been around somebody that's what you're afraid of? Oh my gosh, if they even hear such a thing, they're going to go off and go nuts. That's the flesh. Instantly. The flesh is a weird thing in the service of God. Let me say this, and I hope you've never heard this from me. I can't remember if I've ever said it. If I ever say it, will you come up and slap me in the face? And it's this. Your attitude about ministry is all important, but how do you have a right attitude? By knowing if you're called to the ministry or not. God comes upon the men and women that he calls. But listen, if you're called, here's the deal. You won't be complaining about your service to God. And I can't imagine if you ever hear me saying, well, you know what, the ministry's so hard. It's so tough. Whew! Boy! You know, it's really, really difficult. And I would encourage you not to get into it, man. You know, it's so hard. And we're really carrying a big load for all of you. Hope you appreciate it. Boy, ministry's tough. You know what? That's sick. We want ministry to come off in such a way that you are sitting with your Bible open and halfway through the message, you're sitting there thinking, now, wait a minute. Who's this bonehead talking to me up there? I can do what he's doing. I can do that. May this church minister in such a way that you go, I can do that, or I can do this. The moment we begin to say, oh, the ministry's so hard. Oh, I've had such a hard time ministering to all of you. You know what you're saying? That you're such an elitist. Oh, boy, you know, you should all be blessed that God has sent me here to minister to you. Because nobody else could take it. That's nuts. He could get Balaam's donkey to come here and do it. But your attitude, you're going to see such a difference between Saul and David's attitude. You know what? We talk this among the staff. We talk this among Christian brothers and sisters behind the scenes. We pray it all the time. It's this. Isn't it radical? Isn't it awesome? Isn't God great? I mean, think about it. We'll say, think about it. We get to go out on Sunday morning and do what few people in all of history have ever had a chance to do. You know that? We'll pray like that on Sunday mornings. God, thank you so much that we get to go out right now and we get to open up your word before your people. God, it's radical to think that just such a few people, if you take all of the population of the world, that you would allow us to open up the word of God in front of your people. What a privilege, God. It's awesome. Think about it. What are you doing for the Lord? Is it children's ministry? Is it parking lot attendant? You know, what are you doing for God? Do you realize that if you took all of humanity and put that number up on a screen, that you are but a fraction of people who have served the house of God? Isn't that an honor? Isn't that exciting? Now, hopefully, you're sitting there now thinking, wow, I wonder what I get to get all excited about. I wonder what my thing is. Well, that's my whole motive for bringing that part up a moment ago. Because God's got something for you. That you get up in the morning, you go, God, I can't believe I get to do what I'm going to do. This is amazing. I hope your life's like that. It needs to be like that. I love what God says, though, to Samuel in verse 1 again. Just back up to verse 1. Oh, we're making lots of speed here. Samuel's got to obey God. He's a prophet of the Lord. Watch what happens. God says, fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you. Don't you love that? I got it marked in my Bible. Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you. Man, hey, we know this. If Samuel would have said, I'm not going anywhere. I got news for you. God would have had Samuel get going somehow. Remember Jonah? I love it. The most successful evangelist in human history, Jonah, didn't even want to do the crusade. Jonah, get up. I'm going to send you to Nineveh. Those stinking people? Yeah, go. I'm not going. Let them go to hell. Let them go to hell. I'm not going to preach. Forget you, God. He goes down like God can't see. He goes down to the coast, and he gets on a boat, and he hides. But God's got a plan for this man's life. Listen, if you disagree with me, don't tell me, because I don't want to hear about it. I believe this is true. You can try to run and hide all you want. God will take away the layers of what you've put over yourself. You can hide under anything you want. God's going to expose you, because he's got a plan for your life. And you won't be happy. 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 Until you're doing that thing that God's built you to do. So really, I thought happiness was doing it my way. I thought happiness was everything that I want. Nope, that's not it. I had a friend of mine tell me just the other day, as they were going and they have a very elite community that they live in, and they were going door to door for a certain thing that's going on in their community. It's very, very wealthy. And she said, you know, as we went from door to door, instead of talking about this thing that we're bringing up for the community, I began to realize I need to start giving out Jesus at every door I come to, because when we would knock on the door, you know, either whoever would open up the door, the owner or butler or whoever, and they were miserable. She said they were miserable. People with all this money. And some big rap star lives there too, and his house is right there, and real famous guy, I'm not going to say his name. But listen, they got all this wealth and all the fame and all this stuff in the world, and they're not even happy. And yet the world goes out and tries to establish happiness by trying to obtain things to themselves. And that's not going to do it. It won't work. It's Jesus that works in your life to bring you to that place. It's a very powerful work of God. And you must obey him. And God says, fill your horn with oil. You know, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Fill your horn with oil. I'm sending you. I love that. In verses 4-7, we see here when God comes upon a man, it's based upon his will being done. It's based upon his will being done. Skip down to verse 7. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. As Samuel comes to Jesse's house, all of his sons were there, and they're obviously grown-up boys. And the first young man that comes along is obviously tall. Now, wait a minute. When's the last time we heard of a man of high stature, tall stature? Hello, Samuel. Wait, this didn't work last time. Remember it says that Saul was head and shoulders above all the people? Don't go for the tall guys. No, I'm joking. But you see how the world, though, thinks? Listen, it's true. I don't know, have any of you worked like in corporate America? And have you seen, I don't know what the deal is, but we would have our corporate presidents come to Baxter Healthcare when I worked in Newport Beach, and they would come. And they were all 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", every one of them. And I remember the comments being made. And we're walking by, and it's like, you know, it's like a parade. Whoa, man, there's a guy, you know, wow, And you know what? They're like this. They're all 6'4 plus. And it was the weirdest thing. I mean, I'm not saying there's a connection there. I'm not saying if you're going to be a tall guy, you're going to be successful. And I'm not saying if you're going to be a tall guy, you're going to be a loony. I'm just saying how the world wants someone bigger than life. I went to the Museum of Natural History in London, and there's Charles Darwin. And it's really cool. He's sitting down. Frankly, anybody ever been there? He's sitting down, and it looks like he's going to the bathroom. And he's like this. And the greatest thing about Chuck Darwin is that they made him bigger than life. That's how the world thinks. We need some big ones. Because we're such little insignificant people. We need big leaders. They gotta be big guys. It's a very weird thing. So God says to Samuel, stop looking at the outward appearance. What's wrong with you? Listen, is that not the way we are? What's wrong with us? I don't know. Don't raise your hand. But if you're a single guy or a single girl in here, I think that's a pretty neat verse to hang on to. 1 Samuel 16:7. What do you mean, Jed? Don't look at his outward appearance or at his height or stature or hers too. Oh man, have you seen her? What does that mean? Oh, she's beautiful. For how long? What's she like? Huh? What is she like? Oh, I don't know. But man, is she good looking. But think about it. We'll end here. Don't panic. We'll end here. This will be a part 10 message, obviously. But the thing is this. We have to be careful. God has given us his word. And how does this translate into our lives? We judge by appearance. Listen, Christian, listen up. You know where we're perhaps more guilty than even judging by appearance? We judge by what we hear about someone. Oh, here's the scourge of the church. When somebody comes up and says, oh man, did you hear this about Bobby Sue? Hear what? That, really? Oh my gosh. Oh, I'll be sure to pray for them. Yeah, right. You go home. Did you hear about Bobby Sue? Scourge of the church, gossip. Here's the thing. Little known to you, you've just played the part of a fool. You've listened to one side of a story, and not only did you violate God, you violated Bobby Sue. And God will not hold you guilt-free on this. Well, I don't even know who Bobby Sue is. He will not hold you guilt-free on this. Because the Bible warns about someone who repeats a matter. In fact, in the context of that verse, God says, don't repeat a matter, even if it's true. Don't repeat it. But see, there's some evil, twisted thing in the heart of people to repeat bad news or something that's destructive about somebody. You want to know why? Because of insecurity, it makes you feel better. That's why Mark Twain said, a lie will go around the world twice before the truth ever gets its shoes on. And so the scourge of many Christians today is believing one side of the story. That's a horrible thing. Can you imagine if somebody came up to me and said, Jack, you know, have you heard about Mike? Listen, I've said this for years, don't know if it's ever going to take, but you ought to stop right there and say, well, wait a minute. First of all, can I quote you with what you're about to tell me? Can I quote you? I guarantee you, that person, if you want to know if they're outside the will of God, if you want to know they're lying or passing on a rumor, watch what happens. If they says, have you heard about Mike? Say, wait a minute, before you tell me, can I quote you on this? Wow, whoo, boy, whoo. Getting kind of, wow, no, you know, let's just forget it. Boy, did you see that, you know, that game? And look at the weather. And no, you tell me about Mike, I'm going to quote you. You know what I'm saying? Can you do that? What's your evil option? Yeah, tell me about Mike. Then you enter right into the sin and you propagate it, and God will not hold you guiltless in this matter. What have you heard about someone lately? How do you know it's true? And even if it were, God condemns the action of repeating it to another. That's something. That's heavy stuff. No, don't judge according to appearance. And that's tough. Because our flesh is so longing to know a powerful man, a rich man, an influential man. And James says, silly Christian, don't you know that these are the guys who sue you and drag you into court? Isn't it amazing that Jesus didn't even own a house? He used a rock for a pillow. He had to borrow money from a fish to pay his taxes. There is no form or comeliness of beauty that we should desire him. Jesus was the exact opposite of appearance. But man, are we suckers for it. And God says, better watch it. You get in trouble that way. Next, you'll see how God looks in at the heart, the human heart. And that is a scary thing. Because, you know, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, our hearts are desperately wicked, and we can't know them. But Jack, you don't know my heart. I even have that sticker on my car, to know me is to love me. Hey, look, lady, you don't even know your own heart. I don't know mine. We can't know our hearts. Only God knows our hearts. Isn't that something? So God, oh God, help me. Lord, make motives right in my heart. Have you not found out yet? Have we not discovered that I am my worst enemy? If Satan were bound today and thrown in the bottomless pit, I would still be such a nuisance to myself. It's me, myself, and I that gangs up on the born-again Jack. But thank God that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When God Comes Upon a Man. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, where David is brought into the picture, and that he was to be anointed as king. We'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse account through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, if you've been keeping your ear to the ground, so to speak, on what's happening in the world these days, you're probably wondering if it all correlates with the last of the last days as prophesied in Scripture. Well, that's exactly why Pastor Jack has delivered a message called What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? We're now offering it on DVD, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? Now, when we say offering, that's exactly what we mean. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-DVD set, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? Again, the title of Pastor Jack's DVD, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? Call, click, or write to send your tax-deductible contribution. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for the 2-DVD set by name, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.